The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. We're going through the Ten Commandments. Commandment number 8, the Eighth Commandment. In May 2001, English evangelist J. John spoke in Liverpool, England, on one of the Ten Commandments. You shall not steal. And the results of the preaching were pretty dramatic. Cedric Pulford, in his book, he writes, "Conscience-stricken people have handed in large quantities of stolen goods, including hotel towels, a bathrobe, cash, after attending a church rally at which a preacher urged them to repent. The inventory of pilfered items included hospital crutches, library books, CDs, videotapes, and about $560. They were also several letters of confession. The items were left in large special containers at the Anglican Cathedral in Liverpool, Northern England, after May 15th, when a congregation of 3,000 people heard the renowned preacher J. John speak at the cathedral on the Eighth Commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." So after he preached on repentance, the people just got all their stolen goods and they just dropped it off at the church. I'm just on a side thing. If this is kind of where you all are at, don't bring your stolen stuff back to Central Baptist Church. Unless it's like a new Cadillac or something, don't bring it back. J. John, 43 years old, he had been preaching on the Ten Commandments in a series of meetings in Liverpool. John said goods are commonly handed in after his meetings with stolen items ranging from computers to shovels. Stealing any item, however small, is wrong. That's what he says. The commandment doesn't say, don't steal over a dollar at a time. A man who is now a vicar took towels from the Wimbledon tennis championship years ago when he was working there. He kept them all these years, and after this sermon, he returned them. So family, as we continue our series on the Ten Commandments, many of us might have thought, or are actually even thinking right now, okay, Shane, this is where I'm okay. I'm okay here. I see that I have failed in every possible one so far. All the other ones, the first seven commandments, I see where I have failed, but man, I am totally good here. Man, I got this one. I have not stolen anything. I don't steal. I am not a thief. I am not a robber. I'm sure that there are others here that are, and this will be a good sermon for them to hear. But for me, I got this one. I'm good here. I don't steal things. I don't take what's not mine. I don't have light fingers. I do not linger in the shadows. I am not an opportunist. I do not loot. I do not pillage. So Shane, preach away and wake me up when it's all done. I got this. You know what? I used to think that too. In a survey that's taken by the Barna Group several years ago, it says over 90% of adults in the church claim that they completely satisfy God's requirement to abstain from stealing. 90% believe in the church that they actually satisfy this requirement, thou shalt not steal. Now, notwithstanding Barna's research, here we go again. Remember, the Ten Commandments are first and foremost reflections, a picture of God's character. God is teaching us some 10 very important things about himself. This is a reflection of God's character. And these 10 commandments are essentially category heads for all types of sins that are related to thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. All of these things, you remember, they're all category heads of so much that's under. essentially, the Ten Commandments serves as the genus, and all the subcategories of commands of the species of the genus of stealing come under it. So, family, it is our attention or our tendency with the tension to understand the Eighth Commandment simply as not taking something that does not belong to you. That's how we see it. That's how we simply see it. But as we will see with all the others, it is so much more. And we will once again see how much we have actually broken this command, probably on more than one occasion. So, but as we've seen time and time again, the Lord gives us hope. And we will find out why we can have hope today. So let's take a look. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, simply, you must not steal. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. May it always be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we thank you that it will not return to you void. It will always accomplish what you intend. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we're going to look at today are the prohibitions of the Eighth Commandment. This is what we're not supposed to do. The second thing we're going to explore are the requirements of the Eighth Commandment. These are the things that we are supposed to do. And the last thing we're going to see is the greatest gesture, the opposite of stealing essentially, giving, the great gesture of generosity found in the gospel when God had given his son to save us from our transgressions. So our thesis statement is this today. So remember, our thesis statement is me trying to summarize the entire sermon in one sentence. Though sin and the pattern of this world may cause us to take what is not ours, to be greedy, to even squander the gifts that the Lord has given, it is the truth of the scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit that will set us free into abundant life with the generous sacrifice given between two thieves. All right, so number one, point number one, what does God forbid? God forbids so much more than just theft and robbery. No stealing, no scheming, no selfishness, and no squandering. That's what God forbids in this command. So, once again, I'm going to use the ever so helpful guide of the beloved catechism that I refer to all the time called the Heidelberg Catechism. So, so helpful. I mean, my family and I, we pretty much go through the Heidelberg Catechism at least once a year. On a yearly basis we go. So there's two things in my life that I try to go through personally every single year. Number one, Pilgrim's Progress. You guys haven't read Pilgrim's Progress? That's a book that I try to read at least one time every single year. And the other one is the Heidelberg Catechism. I try to get through the Heidelberg Catechism at least one time every year. And I just don't want to also forget that we do have a Sunday school. When our Sunday schools officially come back into full swing, we actually have a Sunday school that teaches the Heidelberg Catechism. So I want us to look at this really quick because the Heidelberg Catechism is very, very helpful here. The answer to the question, what does God forbid in the Eighth Commandment? The Heidelberg writes this. He forbids not only outright theft and robbery, punishable by law, but in God's sight, theft also includes cheating and swindling our neighbor by schemes made to appear legitimate, such as inaccurate measurements of weight, size, or volume, fraudulent merchandising, counterfeit money, excessive interest, or any other means forbidden by God. In addition, he forbids all greed and pointless squandering of his gifts. Amazing. See, it's so much more than just stealing and robbery. So we have the prohibition of stealing, scheming, selfishness, and squandering. So number one, stealing. It's essentially taking something that does not belong to you. And we see horrible instances of this in Scripture. We saw the horrible story in the Scriptures of Achan, who stole things from Jericho, that God said, don't touch none of the stuff, and he took stuff, and you saw the horrible thing that happened to him afterwards. We saw a guy by the name of Micah who stole money from his mom. You know, so when people are just like today, you're just like, people are way worse today than they were back then. They're stealing money from their own mom back then. Ahab and Jezebel, remember the horrible thing that they did to steal Naboth's vineyard, because he just wanted Naboth's vineyard, so they stole that. And then we saw the sad Good Samaritan story of the man who was beaten and the man who was robbed. All of this is seen in the negative when we look at stealing in the Scripture. God does not like stealing. He does not want us to steal. Stealing is bad, but not just stealing. No stealing, no scheming, no selfishness, and no squandering. Family, it is clear in the Scriptures that stealing is wrong. No, no to breaking and entering. No, no to larceny. No to embezzlement, looting, shoplifting, ransom, extortion, and any kind of unlawful taking of property, of person, of place, of thing, or even ideas. We do not steal ideas. We do not steal creativity. I remember when I was young and I was starting to record music. Every person, a recording artist that I was ever in touch with, they all said the same thing right at the very beginning. Shane, you make sure you copyright your songs. Copyright your songs because people will steal them. Stealing even book ideas, stealing TV show ideas. I mean, all kinds of things when it comes to creativity. Family, this is why plagiarism is wrong. You are taking something that is not yours. Now, all of this stuff is okay if it's used by permission, of course, but plagiarism, these types of things, these are wrong. Hey, family, did you know that you can even get your house stolen today? People can steal your house. How in the world do you steal a house? People are stealing people's houses today. And family, no matter how little, no matter how small it may be, if you take what is not yours, it is stealing and it is breaking the eighth commandment. Now, I've heard stories all the time about things that are taken that, oh, Shane, come on. It's just a small thing. These people won't ever miss it. I mean, even the manager of the company probably doesn't care. And if you try to give it back, the manager would just, oh, I'll just keep it, all this stuff. It's just little. It's just small. I mean, one of the things I remember as a kid was this thing. You know, I guess I was fairly young. But, man, this is what I thought was really bizarre. The amount of people who stole ashtrays from hotels. That was, what was that? Was that like the thing? I mean, people just like show you the collection of ashtrays from all these hotels. And they're broadcasting it like, look at my collection. And I'm like, you stole that? No, Shane, come on. It's just little. They're probably not going to miss it. One hotel in its first year actually recorded, in its first year of business, the need to replace 38,000 plus spoons. 18,000 plus hotel tiles. That was the thing that blew me away. People actually would pry up tiles from the hotel. 18,000 tiles. This one hotel had to replace in 1 year. And 355 coffee pots. Let me tell you, family, that eventually all these things, they will miss it. Lots of little theft in the workplace goes on as well. People helping themselves to office supplies, taking little pens and taking them home, taking the little papers, the pads, all of that stuff, padding expense reports, surfing the internet when we should be working, watching YouTube videos when we should be working, not giving our best effort when we work. It's claimed, family, that these acts are costing American businesses $200 billion a year. That's the calculation that I read from Forbes magazine, that businesses are reporting this much is being stolen by their employees. One economist will claim, oh, before I get there, let me also say, a lot of us, we think, oh, well, yeah, that's their business. Wow, that's a problem, but that's their problem. None of this stuff affects me. One economist actually claims that one-third of products that we buy today, a third of the cost of products that we buy today go to cover the cost of stealing. You know, when people steal things from businesses and all this stuff, that money's coming from somewhere. We're all paying, all of us, we're all paying for what is stolen. Family, let me say this. All the looting that we've been seeing on TV, that's the thing that I'm just sitting back there watching this stuff. All the stuff that's happening, family, we are all going to pay for it one way or another. We're paying for it. All that stuff that's happening, we're paying for it. Family, stealing is bad, but not just stealing. Stealing, scheming, selfishness, squandering. You know what? And here's the other thing, too. I'm not defending corporations today because corporations steal. They steal as well from their employees with uncompensated time, unfair demands to line the pockets of the stockholders, lie to the general public about losses that are actually hiding in offshore accounts. They manipulate securities, provide it false information. Oh, people say, well, I don't think that happens. Yeah, you remember Enron? You guys remember WorldCom? Even Rite Aid. Cheating, stealing from the public, and we are all paying for it. Stealing is bad, yes, but not just stealing. Scheming, selfishness, and squandering. Family, we steal from the government all the time by underpaying our taxes. We lie about deductions. We lie about disabilities. I can't believe the lengths that people will go through when they lie about disabilities. The government also, in my opinion, steal from its citizens when they waste money and there's all kinds of corruption that happens. The dark alley deals, the in the face of the public deals that actually take place. And the biggest one, the robbing. And we can argue about this later, I guess. The robbing, what I believe is robbing from future generations with this continuing problem called the national debt that we keep on padding. Which, let me just say this, this generation of politician has no intentions of paying back. Think about that. Every time I always hear this stuff about how we need money, we need to get more money. There is never a plan as to how we're supposed to pay this back. You know who's going to pay it back? The next generation. Stealing. It's happening in so many different ways. But again, it's not just stealing. It's scheming, selfishness, squandering. There's stealing of people's identity today. You can actually steal a person's identity. We talked about this at some length, but we see that people are actually stealing people. We talked about this, about human trafficking. Stealing a person is a serious offense to God. You are stealing an image bearer of the Most High. How serious is it? We see in Exodus chapter 21, verse 16. Exodus chapter 21, verse 16. Whoever steals a man and sells him, and anyone found in possession of him, shall be put to death. That's how serious stealing a person is. You're going to steal a person? You're going to traffic human beings? Well, let me tell you how serious this is to God. If you are caught doing it, you know what? If you are even caught with a person who was stolen, you shall be put to death. stealing is serious. Well, some of us may say, well, you know what, Shane, I haven't done any of that. Come on, man, I haven't done any of that. So I'm good, right? Wrong. Stealing is bad, but it's not just stealing. Stealing, scheming, selfishness, squandering. The eighth commandment is not just about stealing. There's also to be no scheming. There is to be no cheating, no swindling of our neighbor by schemes that are made to appear legitimate, such as inaccurate measurements of weight, size, volume, fraudulent merchandising, counterfeit money, excessive interest, or any means that are forbidden by God. Family, we are not to scheme against your neighbor. We are not to swindle our neighbor. Now, man, I tell you what, when you're young, even when you're young, this is what I'm talking about with sin nature and human beings. You didn't have to teach little kids how to swindle other kids. Man, I tell you what, I've seen some of the most creative, elaborate schemes done by kids in kindergarten to get a toy that another child has. You know, I remember I used to swindle my sister out of stuff. My sister would like be walking around after birthday with $10 bill in her hand. And I would figure out a way to get a no-name baseball card that I have and just get her to believe that this is going to be the next big thing. Buy this baseball. I'll give you a deal. This baseball card is probably worth like $50. I'll give it to you for 10. Man, this is not okay. The Bible is clear about this. Deuteronomy chapter 25 verses 13 to 16. Deuteronomy 25 verses 13 to 16. You must use accurate scales when you weigh out merchandise. And you must use full and honest measures. Yes, always use honest weights and measures so that you may enjoy a long life in the land the Lord your God has given you. All who cheat with dishonest weights and measures are detestable to the Lord your God. It's not just something that he just frowns upon. He sees this kind of stuff as detestable. It was common practice in the ancient world, and even today, for us to cheat when it comes to merchandise. Evil cuts of material. We talked about that just last week. It was a way for people in the marketplace to get rich. False weights, false scales. These were ways for people who would try to get more to the loss of another. It was a way for this to happen. Cheating individuals, swindling. Sure, this happened in the ancient world. But family, let me tell you something. This kind of stuff still happens today. One of my favorite pictures, there's this Norman Rockwell picture there. Stacy, if you can put that up. One of my favorite pictures. You just look at this and you don't see anything really wrong at first. But if you take a good look, you see two individuals trying to cheat each other. Do you see it? I can see it from here, so I know you can see it. See the lady's finger pushing the chicken? It's a chicken. Just in case you're not sure. And then do you see the butcher, what he's doing? Cheating. That's what we do, just cheat. Doing things that we can to save a buck, to get a buck. All of these types of things that we do, especially in the marketplace today. And family, this stuff is detestable to the Lord. Price gouging. False advertising. You guys remember when I was young, you remember in the comic books, we would read the comic books back in the day. I don't see it very much anymore. But remember that Superman pill? You take the pill and then after like a week, you develop all these big muscles and then you can go beat up the bully that stole your girlfriend. You know that one? I fell for that. I actually even sent a check to go get that pill so that I could get the muscles so I could beat up the bully and get the girl. Did it work? No. Obviously, right? But anyway, I think actually this one, I don't even think they sent me the pill. I just think they cashed my check. Come on, posing as the Social Security office and they're saying, hey, we're just calling because as a service to you, we need to update your records, and we need to make sure that your social security number that we have on record is the right one. So could you give that social security number to me? Deceptive packaging that we see. Remember we talked about potato chip bags? That's highway robbery, man. The mirrors in clothing store department stores. That's cheating. It's deceptive. And the phone call, hey, thank you for signing up to your new service with us, but we had a problem with your credit card. So could you send us your credit card information so that we can get that fixed for you right away? Exaggeration of value. This is the best, most reliable car that has ever been made. And when the deal is done, now let's talk about the service contract for all the repairs that it will need done in the future that you need to pay for in advance. Some of the best salesmen I know are the worst violators of the Eighth Commandment. Lending money at super high interest rates, family. Counterfeit money. You ever notice why the $20 bill changes all the time? Insurance fraud. Money pits, check fraud, an institution that charge membership fees for services that they're banking on you never using. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. These are serious things. Really is serious when he comes down to it. It's really serious. The words that are used here to describe what the Lord feels about this kind of stuff is pretty intense. So scheming we see is bad, but it's not just stealing. It's not just scheming. No stealing, no scheming, no selfishness or squandering. The Lord condemns all forms of greed. Any kind of selfishness is a violation of the Eighth Commandment. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. He said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Guard against every kind of greed. Guard against it. Stay on guard. We don't stand on guard with things that don't come after you. Greed comes after us, family. The Bible is very clear. Any kind of greed, any kind of selfishness, any kind of moment in our lives, at any time in our lives, if greed is there, we have broken the Eighth Commandment. And greed continues to infect. Greed continues to deceive. Greed continues to do the most immoral things. Greed is fleeting. Greed is never satisfied. Greed is breaking the Eighth Commandment. Now, come on, family. All of these things in our culture, in our society today, it's making light of greed. It's the society tells us, no, you want more. Get more. What you have is not enough. You are not going to be enough if you don't get more. You gotta get more. You gotta have more. Greed continues to infect. Greed is never satisfied. Selfish greed, family, is a bad thing. But it's not just stealing. It's not just scheming. It's not just selfishness. No stealing, no scheming, no selfishness, no squandering. Any squandering of any of the gifts that the Lord has given and the Lord has provided for us is a violation of the Ten Commandments. If we squander any of the gifts that God has given or God has provided for us, to do this is, in the Hebrew, kesel. You are criminally stupid if you do this. Essentially, that's what that word means. Criminally stupid. Now, there's other words that the Bible uses for fool. That's even worse than kesel. But Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man, kesel, a foolish man devours it. Things that God, the Lord has given us. Things that God has provided for us. It's the foolish individual that devours it, that squanders it, that destroys it. See, family, sometimes I wonder, especially in our society today, I wonder, are we so concerned about the things that we have not received from the Lord that we don't pay careful attention or forget about the many wonderful gifts that the Lord has given us already? Right? Are we so concerned about stuff that we don't have that we are not appreciative of the things, the wonderful things that we have already? These are blessings of the wonderful grace upon grace that God continues to give us. It's simple things like the land. I tell you what, and sometimes, I mean, people will tell me all the time, hey, Shane, I just love to go to the mountains to just look. It's one individual says, man, there is no painting, there's no picture, there is nothing more beautiful than just sitting there and looking over the valley that God had created. Just the land, family. Beautiful, beautiful thing. The land, the trees, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the wonders of the world that the Lord has given us to enjoy. The things that the Lord has given us for us to reap the benefits of. That the Lord had given these things to man so that we could have dominion over it, not destroy it. Anytime we waste resources that the Lord has given us, it is a transgression of the eighth commandment. Anytime we waste natural resources, anytime we are unnecessarily destroying what the Lord has given us, it is a violation. Family, and this is the thing that affects me more personally, anytime we are killing fish just to get its eggs and then throw the fish away in the trash can is a violation of the eighth commandment. I'm sorry. That is stealing from God. We know that this is wrong. You know, that's the other thing, too. When you talk to individuals about this, one of my fishing trips years ago, I'm hearing stories about this. And people who aren't even Christians, they tell me the story as to what's happening up there. And it's just like in their eyes. You can see it in their eyes. We all know this is wrong. We just know it. We can feel the immorality deep down inside. The Lord created it. And saw that it was good. We're not to demolish that. We're not to devour that. We're not to destroy it. The Lord has given. And what the Lord has given us, the Bible makes it very clear. The Lord, when He gives us things, it's good things. These are good things. Let's not devour that. Let's not destroy it. Let's not waste it. Some of us even have gifts and talents that the Lord has given us, and we are just sitting on it. Not doing anything about it. Wasted potential, wasted ability. Family, I see this. As a pastor, especially years as a youth pastor, I saw some of the most wasted potential I have ever seen. Young people with so much potential. Young people with so many gifts. Young people that can do so much for the Lord that the Lord has blessed them with, that the Lord has given them. And instead, they're 35 years old, sitting in their mother's basement, drinking Mountain Dew and playing video games all night long. I stopped doing that at 36 now. I'm just kidding. I mean, come on. Probably you guys even know of individuals, young people, who have so much potential that's just going to waste right now. You probably even know it. This is stealing. This is a violation and a transgression of the eighth commandment. Squandering is bad, but it's not just stealing. Scheming, selfishness. There's no stealing, no scheming, no selfishness, no squandering. This is what the Lord has forbidden in the eighth commandment. But see, here's the thing. Here's point number two. What the Lord has given to us. Do what I can for my neighbor's good. Actually, I think I did something wrong there. It's not what the Lord has given. It's what the Lord requires. Point number two, what the Lord requires. He requires us to do what we can for our neighbor's good. So here it is. This is one of the main characteristics of Christianity and the law that was given to us by the Lord. Did you know this? I want to make sure we see this. There's always two aspects to fulfilling the laws that God has given us. So this is why I tell individuals all the time, hey, I know it says it's the children's catechism. So we think, oh, it's children's catechism. It's not good. It's below us, right? We need the adult catechism. No. If you are an adult, man, you can learn a lot from the children's catechism. I don't know if you've ever read the children's catechism, but man, it's like if you know the children's catechism, you're going to come walking the streets like you've got like a seminary degree or something. But in the children's catechism, it says something very, very important. When it asks to define sin, what is sin? And they got children's catechisms that are like in songs now. You know, you sing along, and we have play that stuff in our van all the time. And if I say, you know, if I say to my kids, what is sin? Then we sing, sin is any want of conformity unto, or transgression. Anyway, you can sing along with this stuff. But the thing that it says here, when it defines sin, it's any want of conformity unto or transgression to the law of God. And then it will say, what does it mean when it's want of conformity? It means not being or not doing what God requires. So sin is not being, not doing what God requires. And when it talks about transgression, what is transgression? Is doing what God forbids. So the thing when it comes to sin, there's two sides to it. It's when we're not doing what we're supposed to do and when we're doing what we're not supposed to do. There's two things to it. So the clear thing that we see here in the eighth commandment is that when it comes to stealing, it's not, hey, you fulfill the eighth commandment if you were just able to not steal, not scheme, not squander, not be greedy. No, no, no. You still didn't meet it. You know where the key to this is? People are like, well, Shane, I don't know, man. You're coming up with all these crazy doctrines and all this stuff. You know where you see this clear is Jesus's golden rule, right? We all learn Jesus's golden rule. Do unto others what you would want done unto you. Do unto others. All the other golden rules, when you look at golden rules, the golden rule in Buddhism, the golden rule in Hinduism, the golden rule in Zoroastrianism, all these different religions and all this stuff that you see, the golden rule is always in the negative. It's always, don't do to somebody what you wouldn't want something done to you, right? That's the golden rule. Just don't do these bad things. And if you don't do bad things to other people, then you will keep the golden rule. Now, Jesus's golden rule is completely different. No, no, no. If you use Buddha's golden rule, don't do to someone what you don't want something done, a stone would be able to fulfill that. No, not doing bad things, that's a characteristic of a stone. It is not a characteristic of a Christian. Not only are we not to do bad things to people, we are commanded to do good things for others. That's the difference. That's the difference of Christians. That's why Christians are so different. This is why the Lord expects so much from us. There's so much to us being a Christian. A Christian is not called just to keep ourselves from harming. We are called to be those who do good for our neighbor. And if we are not doing good for our neighbor, then we are not fulfilling the commands of God. So as you see, there's so much more to this. See, we got to get this. The eighth commandment is not simply just keeping ourselves from stealing, from scheming, from selfishness, from squandering. Because we may say to ourselves, all I got to do to keep the eighth commandment, all I got to do is just not take stuff that doesn't belong to me, big or small. I'll try to work on my heart to make sure that I'm not greedy, that I don't squander the gifts that the Lord has given me. And if I do that, then I'm good. I am not a negative stain. We're commanded by the Lord not just take things. We're commanded by the Lord to give things. We are commanded not just to keep ourselves from being greedy. We are called to be generous. And to fail in any of those is to fail to keep the commandment. Well, Shane, man, I don't know about all this. You know, where are you getting this stuff from? Isaiah chapter 58, verses 5 to 10. Isaiah 58, 5 to 10 was a lot. Bear with me. But listen to what the Word of God has to say. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. This is what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and don't hide from relatives who need your help. And this Christmas time, right? Then your salvation will come like dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here. He will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be bright as noon. Give. This is what the Lord desires for us. Not to be greedy, not to squander, not to scheme, not to steal, but to give. Especially to give what it is that the Lord has given us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Ephesians 4, 28. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work. Then give generously to others in need. So you see, it doesn't stop with the simple quit stealing, right? You would think that if that was the sense, that Paul the apostle would have just said, hey, if you're a thief, quit stealing. And then he would move on to the next thing. No, but that's not what he does. He says, quit stealing, and instead, this is what I want you to do. Use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others who are in need. What are we supposed to give? What is the standard? The Lord gives us the standard. Whatever you would want somebody to do for you, that's what you do for others who are in need. That's what you do for others. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Matthew 7, 12. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. What are we talking about here? The law of God. What is the essence of it? Do to others whatever you would like them to do for you. That's the radical nature of the gospel. That's the radical nature of us being a disciple. And that's what I love about what Christ says. When the world sees you doing these things, they will know that you are my disciples. Amazing. It's amazing how all of this stuff comes together. So as you can see, it's not enough for us to refrain from doing bad. We are doing bad if we're not doing good. It's not enough to not be greedy. We have to be generous. We need to do what we can for our neighbor's good. There's a story that's told about a homeless woman who lived under a bridge in Chattanooga, Tennessee. After providing Tammy with some basic hygiene supplies, the pastor didn't hear from her in a few weeks until she called and said that there was an unfortunate situation that had happened to her. She was raped. And then the pastor then brought her to the hospital. And after that, Tammy started attending the pastor's church. The church then started providing vouchers so that she could buy food and other items to take care of herself. But the pastor said that created a problem because Tammy kept giving the vouchers to other people that were under the bridge. The pastor said, Tammy, you need to keep this for yourself. Otherwise, you will run out of food. But living under the bridge meant living with other needy people. And she said it was unthinkable for her to receive a gift and not share it. So with an incredulous stare, she asked the pastor, "Why can't I give too?" How can we, Christian, how can we, the recipients of such wonderful, wonderful gifts from the Lord, how can we be the recipients of these things and not give to others? As Christians, it should be abundantly clear. The Lord did not intend for us simply to be recipients of His grace. He desires us to be deliverers of the grace of God as well. Matthew chapter 10 verse 8, Matthew chapter 10 verse 8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Now the context is different, sure. But the idea, family, we need to understand is the same. God has given us so much. Given us so many things. Do you know that money can't buy? Money can't buy peace, faith, grace, hope, love, power from the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. So much meaning, so much treasure, so much that is precious that money can't buy. And for many of us, the Lord actually did bless us with money. And the Lord has given us money. To do what? To be generous. So the thing that you see throughout all of the scriptures. We are called to give it away. Especially when it comes to money. Especially in our culture. R. Kent Hughes, he writes this. I love this quote. "Every time I give, I declare that money does not control me. Perpetual generosity is a perpetual de-deification of money." Do you know that? When you give money away, you are telling money, "You are not my God. You are not my God." And so that's the thing I love about this stuff when it comes to the essence of the eighth commandment. Let us not allow our money. We are not to allow our possessions to rob God of any glory that's due Him and it's due Him alone. Money and our possessions do not deserve any praise or any commitment or any holding. Show money, show our possessions, declare to those things today that they don't control us and they don't have any more value than Christ. Family, I just would love that if we as the body of Christ would rise up and declare to the world that money, possessions, material things, all of these things, you have no worship from us. And we will never do that. We will never give you what only God deserves. What only Christ deserves. And family, how do we do that? We do that by giving. And I love that. Isn't that amazing? When we give money away, not to get anything. I'm not talking about investing here. You know, people will be thinking, "Oh yeah, I give money to my mutual fund all the time." No. When we give money away, not receiving any benefit from it or anything like that. When we just give it away, we are declaring to money that it does not have control over us. And declaring to money that you will not be shown any value more than I give to my Lord Jesus. So, last point, what the Lord has given. So we've been talking about stealing. Eighth commandment, talking about stealing, taking what is not ours. The wonderful thing is what the Lord does to save us from this predicament, the Lord gives. Does the opposite, right? He gives. So, as we can see, for many of us, we can see that we have come up pretty short when it comes to the keeping of the eighth commandment. Family, how far we have fallen. It's got to be honest with ourselves today. How far we have fallen when it comes to keeping of the eighth commandment. There are so many times that we've taken what is not ours, whether large or small. Not giving to people what is due. How many times have we robbed God with our lack of generosity? Times that we've fallen into temptations, motivated by greed, motivated by faithlessness. How many times we have squandered the many, many gifts the Lord has already given to us. How many times we have not done what is best and what is good for our neighbor. How many times we have failed in doing good, in giving generously to our neighbor. Giving to our neighbor what we would want done, given to us. Have we given money and our possessions the glory that only Christ deserves? Our great reformer, Martin Luther, he wrote this: if we look at mankind in all its conditions, it is nothing but a vast, wide stable full of great thieves. See, so many of us today can see how far, how many times we have failed here. So many ways. And some of us today may think now, you know what, Shane, you don't understand. I mean, when you look at it in that light, dude, I have stolen much. I have robbed in so many different ways myself. I have failed to give generously. I have fallen way short of keeping the eighth commandment. Remember, family, even if it was just a small thing, it's all it takes. It's all it takes. We don't compare. And here's the other thing, family. What we got to not do is we don't compare our righteousness to other people. Do you know when you see other people walking around? Especially sometimes when I was younger, I would see this a lot. A lot of people just be like, man, look at how righteous I am. Man, I'm a good, righteous person. You know what, Shane? You should be more like me. You know, do things like me. And then, you know, I asked him, like, why? Dude, why do you think you're so right? Because I am not like those people. You know, like the people that you see on TV and the people that you see in the movies and like my next door neighbor. He's a thief. I don't do any of that kind of stuff. I am not like those people. And so because we see, look, I don't lie as much as they do. I don't steal as much as they do. I'm not angry like those people are. I can control my tongue. As long as we continue to compare ourselves with other people, we're always going to look good. Always going to look good. But you know what the Bible tells us that we need to compare ourselves to? Not to other people. We compare ourselves to the law of God. And oh, let me tell you something. When we do that, when we do that, it's a different story, isn't it? James chapter 2 verse 10. James chapter 2 verse 10. For the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of it. So here you got one person, kept all the laws except one, broke one law, and here's a person that has broken all the laws. God is going to look at the two of them and see them as equally guilty before Him. That's sobering, isn't it, family? Sobering. That's the reason why we can walk around thinking we're doing good, because we're comparing ourselves to others. But when we compare ourselves to the law of God, all we can do is, like the Apostle Paul, fall to our knees and say, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Our theft, big or small, our robbery, big or small, our greed, our failure to give generously really is an abomination to the Lord. And do you know that there's a price to pay for that? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 10. Or are thieves, or greedy people, drunkards or abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. How serious is it? None of us, if we fall into this category, will inherit the kingdom of God. So family, some of us may now feel like, Shane, man, the weight of the world just fell on my shoulders. Is there hope for me? Can there be hope for us? Can there be hope for all who have fallen short, who have broken the eighth commandment? Is there hope for a thief? Family, you better believe that there is. And we have a beautiful picture of this happening. Our hope is found in something that was not stolen. Our hope is found in something that was given. Something completely given. Something given that was precious. Something given that was wonderful. God the Father gave us His beloved one and only Son as a sacrifice to bring us salvation. Family, salvation is here. And again, we don't get it because of something we have done, but because of something He has given to us. He gave us Christ so that we could have life and life more abundant. This gift that the Lord had given us, this gift lived the life that we should have lived. He died the death that we should have died. Family, Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. And He was buried and He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He Himself bore our sins in His body on a tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds we are healed. And you know what? That gift keeps on giving. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to read this last scripture from Titus to you. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Titus 2, 11 to 14. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godly living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Oh man, isn't that awesome? That is what the Lord has saved us for. So do you see that we are not just to be recipients of God's grace, but He wants us to be those who will hand them out as well. And to the thief today, you're saying, hey, Shane, man, I hear that salvation and all that stuff. But man, I don't know. I'm a thief. I'm a robber. I have robbed God in so many ways, Shane, you have no idea. Well, I want you to hear this today. The gift of the sacrifice of Christ was actually given between two thieves. There were two thieves right there next to Christ. And we did see and will always have a reminder for those of us today who have broken the eighth commandment. Again, people say, is there hope for us? Is there hope for thieves? Absolutely, you better believe it. Yes. Because right there on the cross, the Lord Jesus looked at one of the thieves, one of the transgressors of the eighth commandment. And He said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.